Oh yeah.
That's been sung 100 times before.
Well, I tell you, the sunrise I saw this morning just makes me want to saddle up and take off.
Let's do it.
Until about 8:30. Then I want to turn around and come back to the barn.
If you'd like to see the same sunrise we saw this morning,
man,
go to Facebook, post a little picture from the 7th floor of the Francisco Grande Hotel in Casa Grande.
There's two ways to see that sunrise and catch this valley under that morning light, and that's get up early and climb to the top of Picacho Peak, or go to the Francisco Grande and take the elevator up to the 7th floor. It's your choice.
Or the 8th. Romy was on the 8th floor.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, we're down here in Casa Grande for a special Rosie on the House event that we've never had before. Romy put the whole thing together where we invited partners down here, and we actually invited homeowners from across the state to join us yesterday for a little focus group so we could learn a little bit better how we might do our job better in trying to become every Arizona homeowner's best friend. And we had a blast. We have several homeowners that have gotten up early and joined us here in the broadcast room this morning. So we're going to have a ton of fun today. We've got John Eisenhower from Integrity Tree Service, who was actually down here with his sweet wife yesterday, all day during the conference, and John will be in this morning, talk trees in the 8 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock hour, of course, will be our open hour, like we always generally run it, but we're probably going to intersperse a lot of client and homeowner interaction in that hour while we're here broadcasting live. And 10 o'clock, we're going to be talking about risky remodels and all of our experience remodeling projects that maybe you ought to think twice, just twice, before you take them on, all right? Things you ought to consider long-term. And I'll give you a hint. Let one bathtub stay in the house. Just one.
Always a good idea.
All right. Well, we've got a special guest this morning here in the 7 o'clock hour. As you always know, it's our Arizona Magazine Hour. And we always try and bring in someone interesting to talk to about what's going on around the great state of Arizona. We've got Mrs. Nancy Cutler. She's the prior docent training director at the Desert Botanical Garden. Now, she was at the Botanical Garden for a long time, 15 years, from 89 to 2004. And I know through the 90s, the Botanical Garden changed a lot. She oversaw a lot of big changes there.
Well, it just gets better every year, too. So,
yeah,
it's a great place.
Kind of one of Jennifer's favorite little hangouts. Let's bring Miss Nancy into the conversation and welcome her to our audience here at Rosie on the House. Good morning, Mrs. Nancy.
Good morning, Rosie and Jennifer.
Hey, thanks. Thanks a bunch for joining us here this morning. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Jennifer, why don't you tell the listeners why you originally reached out to Nancy?
Well, we love desert harvesting. And I think originally, Nancy, maybe it was about the mesquite beans because I've been trying to get the hang of that. And then Rosie mentioned he would like to try saguaro harvesting. So the fruit, and it looked like it was going to be a really good year this year, but it looks like maybe we've gone bust. So we thought we'd just kind of talk through some of the things that you can harvest.
Yeah, Jennifer slaves me pretty much 2 weeks in October to go round up prickly pear fruit, and she processes about 15 gallons of prickly pear extract that you make some syrup and some jellies out of it, and I like it just as an additive to my sun tea.
It's really good. It's good for you, too.
That's unusual. Something I like is good for me. Awesome. And then you've tried the mesquite bean harvest, and you've made wheat with that,
mm-hmm.
and we've made tortillas with it. Absolutely delicious. And then somehow you kind of got the envies to try saguaro harvesting, and that's why we reached out to Mrs. Cutler to see what she knew about that. It's a fruit I've never tasted, certainly a fruit I've never tried to harvest. So what do we need to know about saguaro harvesting?
Well, the first thing to know is that the saguaros bloom in April and May, and then they, when the flowers get pollinated, of course, they produce fruits, which usually are ripe around the middle of June to the middle of July. And the most abundant time is the end of June to the middle of July. However, this year it didn't work out that way. My guess is that the heat, that high heat came on and sort of spoiled the timeline. Mm. But in any event, the way, do you want to know how you harvest the sorrel fruit?
We were so looking forward to a good harvest. Jennifer and I were actually doing a little hike in about April. And I mean, at that point, every sorrel cactus rib had swollen to absolute maximum capacity. I mean, just the light that they were reflecting. They were just so huge and so healthy. And we figured, oh, this is going to be the year. And then we started seeing the fruit, the hike we took through Saguaro National Park. I mean, every single cactus was so loaded down with fruit on top of it, I thought they were going to topple over. And then we had this heat. I mean, then you have Mother Nature, and she plays a cruel trick on you.
She does indeed.
But it's ironic. Do you happen to know, it's not like, I didn't see any saguaros with fruit on it that you could just walk up and pick. It's like they don't start sprouting the fruit till they get above your hand's reach.
Uh-huh. This is true. They bloom on the very tops, usually in clusters, on the top of the main stem and on the tops of the arms. So, of course, you need a tool to get up there and reach those fruit. And for centuries, people have collected those fruits, and they developed a tool using the saguaro ribs of the cactus, the dead saguaro cactus.
Well, that beats leaning a ladder up against the saguaro, I guess, damaging the saguaro itself. So you take a couple old saguaro ribs. Now, they didn't have duct tape back then, so they used yucca yarn and twined them together, and then created a little finger fork option at the end. And you basically just flip the fruit off the top of the limbs?
Well, you try to. You sometimes you need three of those poles together, lashed together, as you say, with yucca or agave yarn. And then you put a cross pole that's about 45 degrees. It's very short, maybe 6 or 8 inches long. Oh, probably 8 or 10 inches long. And you lash it at a 45-degree angle on the top. And then you can reach quite a few of the fruit at the tops of the stems and the arms. And the cross piece helps you to hook around the fruit, and you can either pull it or push it or tug. And this is how you get the fruit down. It's not as easy as you might think.
It doesn't sound very easy. Nancy, is that what you use when you harvest, or do you have some modern-day tool?
It was what we used, exactly. I have seen some people using modern-day tools, and I think it was something like, I can't remember. I remember seeing the cross piece was like a screwdriver, which seemed to work pretty well. But you want poles, and the saguaro poles fit this, that are long and sturdy and not flexible.
And so, like, once you successfully pop one loose, do you have to catch it so it doesn't bruise while falling on the ground, or can it just fall on the ground? And the problem with city dwellers is, how do you recognize the fruit 15 feet off the ground? When do you know it's ripe? You have to go out there every day and plop one off until you hit the right ripeness, I guess.
Well, I imagine it's when they start splitting. What is it, Nancy?
Well, you got two good guesses there. First of all, address your first question. You can sort of tell when they're ripe because they look. Each fruit will look a little more swollen than the other ones that are near the top, and they get also a little red or pink blush at the top of the fruit itself, right under the dead flower or calyx, which is usually still attached to the fruit. Okay. So when you start seeing those, then you can guess that they're probably ripe. When they split open, they're definitely ripe. They're very ripe at that point.
Okay.
And those are delicious when you pull them down.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. So you're operating in the heat. You're in May and June. You're out there at prime time for rattlesnake at peak activity, Gila monster activity. You're reaching up above a saguaro cactus with a 12 to 15 to 16 foot long pole. You've got to keep your balance so you don't fall into the cactus. You've got to watch all the prickly pears and the agaves that are surrounding you. So you go into
this. It better be pretty good.
So you go in this hazardous situation to try and get, harvest this fruit. What's the fruit? What is the fruit? Is it worth all that?
Oh yes, most definitely. Yes, most definitely. It's very delicious, and it only comes at that one time of the year. And as I didn't answer your other question, it can drop on the ground. It has kind of a rind on the outside of it that doesn't really bruise, and the fruit inside is just fine. Although often people try and take woven baskets, like baskets made of sotol or some other desert plant, and catch the fruit, and that's always a challenge, too.
See,
and you're
Jennifer,
right.
That's how we're going to do it. I'm going to flip them, and you're going to catch them.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Do I get a bucket?
That's a good plan, because you need a lot of upper body strength, too, to reach up there with those heavy poles.
Now, are they thorn-covered like the prickly pear fruit is thorn-covered?
No, the prickly pears have glaucids all over the fruit in little clusters. The saguaro fruit just have a few little spikes kind of right at the bottom where they're attached to the cactus. So they're easy to manage.
Okay, so you now have a basket full of the saguaro fruit. We're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about, okay, what do you do with it now? How do you consume it? How do you prepare it? What is it good for making? And how long will it keep? We're talking with Mrs. Nancy Cutler, the prior docent trainer at the Desert Botanical Garden from 89 to 2004. So she certainly knows her desert plants. And we'll be back talking with her a little bit more about saguaro fruit winemaking.